Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
We are the piggy bank that everybody likes to take advantage of or take from, and we can't let that happen anymore. We've been losing for many years anywhere from $300 billion to $500 billion a year.
President Trump yesterday, when he was on his way to give a speech, and he was talking about the tariffs in China, and he's not backing down, and I don't blame him. What, 2 days ago I told you, the stock market, all the cable news outlets had these market watch in the bottom right corner as the stocks were tumbling and people, fortunes were being lost because the market was down 2%. The market moves on expectations, folks. And it went right back up yesterday. Maybe not, didn't recover all the losses, but people buy, these big institutional investors, they buy and they sell, and it affects the market, and it's nothing to worry about. Because in the long run, the man who's currently president of the United States has your best interests in mind, unlike apparently the last couple who gave away the farm in negotiating these trade deals. Donald Trump's not going to do that. And you just need to have confidence in what he's doing here and don't buy into all of the hype and the hyperactivity and the hyperventilating that we're getting from the mainstream media. Don't panic. It's all going to be good. Just stand by. We'll take care of you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us. We're talking a little bit of Blues action this morning. They play tonight. Everybody's pretty excited. Headed downtown for that.
Yep.
We've got Governor Mike Parson is going to join us here about 7:35. We covered the whole GM expansion bill pretty significantly yesterday during the filibuster. The filibuster fell apart last night, and the bill got passed. So it's a major victory for the governor, whether you like what passed or not. And we're going to quiz him on that and ask him a few questions about it coming up here at 7:35. And then we've got the Wentzville mayor joining us in the next hour at 8:35 because his town had a lot on the line in this. And I'm sure they offered some incentives up as well. We're going to find out what he's expecting out of the whole thing. So we'll get to all that. I got a WHO ticket giveaway coming up just a little later. So it's a big day. We still got plenty to go, and we got more tickets to give away later this week. So stay tuned for that. Right now, I want to get to my guest, please.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Sounds like you have a great show.
Yeah, we've got lots going on today, lots in the chute. We've got a big debate here, the conservative caucus in the Missouri Senate. And they have Republicans have a supermajority in Missouri. They went to the mat yesterday over a couple of government slush funds that were added into an incentive bill to get General Motors to expand one of its plants. The conservatives said, this is not good government. We're going to put $35 million into free education for people over 25 if they want to go back and finish a college degree and give the governor a slush fund to spend on economic development. And our concern is that, as Ronald Reagan pointed out, no government program ever created ever gets smaller. And their suspicion is that next year it'll be $45 million, and the next year it'll be $100 million. And how do you ever control that growth once you start something like that? So it was a legitimate debate, but after about a 24-hour filibuster, they lost steam and they gave in and they lost. Yeah, I know. What can you do? Well, I mean, but on the bright side, the fact that the bottom line is they probably gave up because we have an anti-abortion bill, a pro-life bill moving through the Senate, and it needs to get a vote before 6 p.m. Friday when the session ends. And if they kept going with this, that bill never would have gotten a final vote, and that's kind of what we focused on.
Well, that if you have to make a trade-off, that sounds like the right trade-off. But I always ask them, well, who's controlling the Senate schedule and the voting schedule? And I don't know the answer to that question there, but it sounds like it should be the Republicans, and they should be managing that better.
So amen.
In that kind of situation, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, in this case, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, the Senate a majority leader who we had on earlier this week, Senator Dave Schatz, he was in agreement with the governor on these new programs they wanted to attach. They call it workforce development. And he was in support of that for some reason that is not completely clear, but he thought it was a good idea. So he's the one that was putting the pressure on him.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, and Ronald Reagan was right. Once a government program gets going, they never go the other direction, right? They never get smaller. They always get bigger. What's the old saying about the next best thing to earn? Next thing to eternal life is a government program.
Yeah, exactly.
True. I mean, they never go away. So hopefully you all can still do some good work on that. But congratulations on GM coming. That's a good news.
Well, they're already here, but they were talking, it was an expansion deal then where Missouri was going to offer them, once they've invested X amount of dollars, I don't know, $500 million or something, some tax credits kick in and just some incentive work is all it was. So it is good news. It'll be good news for the community. Speaking of the heartbeat bill, we're pretty anxious because we have a Republican governor who has said he would sign it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If it gets passed, it is basically the six-week level where once you can detect a heartbeat, which is, 6 or 7 weeks, they would limit abortion after that date. And, you know, it's been controversial. It pales in comparison to what they did in Alabama yesterday.
I did not see what happened in Alabama. What was the final?
So
final
they there? Voted down there that to basically ban all abortions. The bill sounds very radical, but what they did was it doesn't penalize women who want to get an abortion, but it makes it illegal for a medical doctor to perform an abortion in the state of Alabama. So that's
in all cases.
In all cases. There's no gray area there. And the reason they did it was very intentional because they want a case to get to the Supreme Court.
Sure,
so somebody has to make the final call on when does life begin. I mean, Roe versus Wade, as bad of a decision as it was 45 years ago, since then the court has never gone back and reexamined that and answered the question, when does life begin? And that is a key in all of these heartbeat bills.
Right. Well, and let's be clear too, Mark. I mean, what Roe did was say, okay, now abortion's legal in all the states. Prior to Roe, the reality was it was up to individual states what they wanted to do. So if Alabama wanted to say we're going to have no abortions in our state, but New York said we do want to, they could do that. If Roe was overturned, that's where we would go back to immediately, is that individual states would be able to determine what they wanted the law to be in their states. Now, as you're saying, if this Alabama case went all the way to the court, a different question would then be posed, which is, right, when does life begin? But as we know, even if determining that, as we've seen what's happened recently in places like New York, and then in Virginia it was debated as well, the question isn't life. The question is, at what point do we say life can actually be lived, right? This whole saying that we can abort a baby up until literally it comes out of the birth canal, or in places like New York, even after it's born, saying that the home has the Born Alive Protection Act, why that's been introduced, is because they're saying, well, if, you know, this was a baby that was born after it was aborted because that was the mother and doctor's choice, then we should just let the baby lay there and die, but quote unquote, we'll keep it comfortable. I mean, so you've already got places that even though they could say, well, that's a baby, but because it was going to be aborted, we're going to go ahead and let the abortion take place basically and let the child die. it just shows where we are as a country.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you've got people that are even willing to admit that's a baby, but it's a baby that's not wanted, and so therefore we're going to go and let abortion take place. So it's going to be a very hot debate because this is a very it's an issue that I think people are just very – I don't know how divided the American public is, but the interest groups on the side of this debate are very committed to it.
Oh, absolutely. The pro-abortion lobby, I mean, they're going to – the top heads are going to be blowing off, right?
Right. Well, yeah. This is – look, because let's remember, this is not just about abortion. This is also about the dollars involved. It's not just
right.
about a woman's right to choose. This is about the abortion industry itself, which is a multi-million dollar industry. And they realize that they lose on one – they just every inch they lose – they fear losing the whole thing. That's why they're fighting.
Yeah, we don't know for sure if the Alabama governor, who's a female, will sign this or not, but she has been pro-life and has spoken out in favor of things like the heartbeat bill. This one takes it a step farther than that, but it would impose sentences of 10 to 99 years in prison on anyone performing an abortion, but criminal charges could not be filed against the person undergoing the procedure.
The woman, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it's important to note that 16 other states have either passed or are currently considering abortion bans once a fetal heartbeat is detected. So, like many cases that we've talked about, it's time for the Supreme Court to step back up to the plate and make a ruling on this, one way or the other. It just can't be as innocuous as vague as it is right now.
Well, and I think it's why it's very important for the pro-life community to keep educating people. I mean, the fact that you've got up to, I think it is close to 16 states that have actually passed that, it shows, I think, that the public, and you see this in a lot of the polls too, it's trending definitely in a pro-life direction. And I think a lot of that has to do with science. People can see the baby in the womb in a way that they could not see it in 1973 when Roe was passed. And they also see children born at 22 weeks, 24 weeks that survive. And they're like, wait a minute, this is beginning to look like infanticide here. And I think people, they see that. So the pro-life community has to keep educating people, showing them what's happening. And I think that's why you're seeing those kind of, that legislation, those kind of laws don't get passed just overnight. The people of those states have been supportive of that. Not everybody, but the majority. And so, therefore, I think that's the reason you're seeing that tide. But you've got to keep educating folks.
Well, fortunately, we're bringing some of the liberals over to our side because there should be less need for abortions moving forward because Alyssa Milano just
yeah,
wants women to stop performing the action that causes that to begin with, right? Stop participating,
well, that's right.
I should say, not performing, participating. Let me be very clear what
very,
I mean.
Very clear. And let's be very clear that in the majority of cases where abortion is being called for, it is not because of a rape. It's not because of incest. I'm not saying those cases don't happen. They absolutely do.
Right.
But that is a very minority of cases here. The vast majority are people in many cases who they want to use it as birth control. Or you've got other people who say that certain people have enough kids, or you're not old enough to have kids, or you don't make enough money yet to have children, so they encourage those folks to have abortions. And the reality is that's the vast majority of cases. And as Ms. Milano's pointed out, look, then people, they have control of their bodies. How about not having sex? So she shouldn't be encouraging that kind of education in our schools and all across the country if she really wants to cut down the abortion, to stand for her cause. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Sure, yeah. I looked at her Twitter feed after she put that statement out, and the responses were just epic. But my favorite one was somebody...
It's a great sex education.
That's true.
Lead the charge.
Somebody put a gif on there of Mike Pence slowly clapping his hands as she suggested that abstention works. Imagine that. So I thought that was
she could be the poster child for the abstinence movement,
which is not what she wanted. She did not want that at all. You know, I thought this was interesting, and I want to play a soundbite and get your reaction to it and see if it's the same mine was earlier on Vice President Joe Biden yesterday when he was campaigning and how he responded to a lady in his crowd. Go to 25, please. 28. Sorry.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind. That's it. I think all the talk about impeachment and what the Democrats should do illegitimate. And my biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal, and we're going to be stuck for 6 more years with this guy. And that is terrifying. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice president for a few days? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Joe Biden doesn't even have the ability to think on his feet enough to say to this lady, no, you're wrong. Donald Trump is your president because I got elected vice president through the same process. He was legitimately elected. Now let's work to get him beaten in 2020. He agreed with her when she called Donald Trump illegitimate as president of the United States. This is part and parcel why I believe Joe Biden won't survive the primary process.
Well, look, I mean, that's classic Joe Biden, though. I mean, that's been everything we've seen since he's kind of either after he announced or right before he announced. Whoever he's attacked by, he kind of just agrees with them. And he won't stand up to anybody or anything, which I think you're right. It's going to be very difficult when you're on a stage with 20-plus, however many we're up to now, 23 folks. And you agree with every attack that comes your way. He just doesn't seem to have, which is kind of surprising. I mean, he's supposed to be Mr. Glib. Yes, he says things he shouldn't say at times, but he just seems to be frozen in all these moments. Doesn't take the opportunity, as you said, to then turn the statement and turn it into a positive for himself. He doesn't seem to get how to do that at all.
No, either that or he just doesn't care. I'm quite figured it out, but.
Scared.
Well, he's scared of the progressive left. Yeah, you make a very good
That's
point
right.
there. He doesn't want to offend anybody, so he's going to let this snowflake who's ranting about Donald Trump being an illegitimate president just go on and on, then ask her to be his VP. I mean, that's just stunning.
Right.
Stunning.
He's scared, basically tries to make a joke out of it. And,
yeah.
You know, that works every once in a while to kind of deflect, but every time can't just be, let me make this a joke. You've got to show you're a serious person, you're a serious thinker, and you've got serious ideas.
Yeah.
And you've got to differentiate yourself from everybody else. And I don't think just being a jokester or kind of go along, get along is going to be what the folks want. That's not a fighter. And I think their side is going to eventually want someone who's going to fight. And he's not showing himself to be that right
now. No, he's not. We're going to expose him at every turn.
Don't screw around with me.
Absolutely. Genevieve Wood, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
At Genevieve Wood there on Twitter and heritage.org, dailysignal.com, contributing to all of that, and it's fantastic stuff.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, glad you're back with us. Before the end of the hour, we'll give away those tickets to see The Who coming up on the 23rd. Stay tuned for that. We've got the bottom line at about 8:10 with Jeff Smith, former Missouri Senator Jeff Smith's going to join us. Right now, I want to get to my special guest. He is Missouri Governor Mike Parson, at Governor Parson MO, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Governor, congratulations on your big victory yesterday on this workforce development plan and the GM incentives.
Thank you, Mark. We were glad to get that done, and it was definitely a big win for us yesterday, place.
Yeah, you know, what was your response to the conservative caucus down there in the Senate who really went to the mat and filibustered for 24 hours because of their concern over the additional spending, the fast track kind of program, the slush fund? They're concerned that once you start something like that, as we've all determined with government programs, they rarely shrink in size.
Well, I think one of the things, we met with them, all of them, over the last course of several weeks and yesterday including, to make sure, hey, look, if we can get you more comfortable with this and make sure those things that you're talking about, Mark, that this doesn't become a runaway program, we're more than willing to sit down with them and discuss that. But right now we put sunset provisions in it. We put caps on everything. And so there is limits to what can be done in the program. And the other thing we put in there, one of the requests that group had, we put a 3-year sunset in there, which means they're going to have the opportunity to get to see, does this program really work? Is it successful? And what will we do with it in the future? So we tried to do a lot of things there to compromise on that to make sure everybody was comfortable for it. And it was the right thing to do for Missouri.
Yeah. So is that the sunset provision? I'm sorry, was that on the Economic Development Fund or is that on the Fast Track program?
It was actually on Fast Track, and it was also on some pieces of the workforce development pieces on there also. There were several provisions in there, several caps that were put in there. We want to do the best we can to make sure we're utilizing tax dollars, that we're responsible for these programs. And, Mark, I think I just told you guys the other day when I was up there, you know, I've tried to approach this whole thing from a business perspective, not from a government perspective per se. You know, what is the best deal we can do for the taxpayers, and what do we get in return for our investment? And that's something I always look at when we start one of these programs.
What do you think we're going to get here? I mean, I know GM's promising some investment in the Wentzville plant, a pretty substantial investment. And as part of that, they ask for some of this workforce development, correct? What was that? Can you tell us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you go through the job training portion of it, but those are programs that were already existing programs too. You know, I think one of the things they're going to look at is how do they retain the workforce they have, because like so many companies, a lot of those senior employers are leaving, or employees are leaving, and how you replacing them, and what's that market out there to replace them. But just not General Motors, all businesses are feeling that crunch. So I think that's why the program was so important, to establish that workforce, to have the people in the pipeline for the future.
Let me get you to explain to people your version, your view of the fast track legislation that's now passed. And because, you know, a lot of the opponents of it, and I might have heard Bob Onder say this, I can't swear to this, but I know that some of the opponents of it said that what's the difference between giving free education, which isn't free, obviously taxpayers are funding it in this particular case, versus something like we're seeing some of these proposals on the national stage by Bernie Sanders and some others?
Yeah, I think the huge difference in that right here, if somebody gets into the program, one, there's the responsibilities are clawback. So it's much more of a loan than it ever is a grant. So they have, one, complete the program. Two, they have to go into the workforce. Three, they have to stay in Missouri to even get this. If they fail any of that, then that essence turns into a loan. You got to pay it back. But if you compare it to Bright Flight and A-plus that we do right now, there is no strings to that. We basically just allow some kid coming out of school to get all those programs, whether they complete it or not. So actually, Fast Track has more clawback provisions in it than any of the other education things that we're doing.
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, somebody who's over the age of 25, an adult in the state of Missouri, can go either finish a degree or go back to school for 2 years, and the tuition is picked up by this program?
Yeah, that's correct. It's age is 25, and the reason 25 we kind of picked is most people by that time have settled down a little bit. They're out there in the workforce, and they're probably going to have an opportunity to up their skills or get into a trade that pays a little more, which helps the economy. The other thing, they got to be in a class of 80,000 or less for a household.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
3,000 or less for an individual. So you can kind of see the market we're going after there, and that's the middle-class workers in there that's just trying to make a living and just trying to really up their game a little bit, give them the skills they need to be successful.
Yeah. Governor, on in terms of the Economic Development Fund, I guess you have, as governor, or whoever would be governor in the future, would have, do you have pretty wide discretion in how that money's used to attract new businesses?
Well, again, we've tightened that up pretty good with cap space. We put that another sunset in there. And most of the provisions in here, Mark, that we're doing lines up pretty well with the President of the United States. I mean, we've met with him. We've met with him and Ivanka I have personally on this. But the strategy he's doing for the United States, trying to bring businesses here, trying to bring companies back here, trying to expand that workforce, all of these is part of that plan or part of that program that we retain jobs. And Missouri has every opportunity to do that by keeping those jobs here, by bringing businesses here. You know, when you talk about the General Motors piece of this, it's not just General Motors piece. It's all the subcontractors are out there that feed into that. This project's going to take 3 years to build this thing. I mean, that's thousands and thousands upon employees that's going to be working, our construction workers. But that's where Fast Track will come in to feed some of that workforce demands for that and then replace some of those people that are working there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're talking to Governor Mike Parson. So I mean, can you give me an example of how you might apply some of those funds if a company's thinking of relocating in Missouri?
Well, I think, one, all the companies look for training situations. What is that market? So if a company comes here, for example, and if they're going to invest in our state, we're going to get them, try to tie them up with a community college. We're going to try to get them up with a trade school to be able to help make sure we can maintain that workforce for them in the future. So, and that's the things they look at. They look at, okay, yeah, I can move a company here, but when I start retaining these employees or rehiring, does Missouri have the tools a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road to maintain that?
That's a great point. We're 24, well, a little over, probably 48 hours away from the end of this legislative session, Governor. Right. The heartbeat bill is still pending out there, I know. What are you hoping that realistically we're going to get accomplished by Friday night?
Yeah, I think the heartbeat bill definitely is something I think will get done. I believe that'll get done. There's a couple of issues that said, you know, Clean Missouri's still got to be addressed out there. That's out there. We're going to see what happens there. There's some tort reform issues out there that I'd like to see get across the finish line. So I think there's still some priorities left out there to get done. Definitely the heartbeat, I think, is the main priority right now for us to get that across the finish line. That's huge.
Yeah, that's been pretty controversial in other parts of the state. I know that. And I know that having served in the legislature, you know how intricate some of the tricky details can be sometimes. There's an article this morning in one of the newspapers suggesting that there's a technical reason why there may not be ultimately be a vote on that Clean Missouri bill. Have you heard otherwise? You think there's going to be an effort to get that to the floor?
Oh, I think there'll be an effort to get it to the floor. I don't know about the technical changes. I mean, you hear a lot of things, but right now I think that's definitely going to catch a lot of attention, and it should, but it needs to come to the floor. It needs to be discussed, and I think there's lots of problems in that provision, and they need to be addressed.
Very good. Governor Mike Parson, I appreciate your time this morning, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a great day. Appreciate that. Good, candid conversation with the governor there. He's obviously proud that that bill passed. It's what he'd been pushing for all along. You know what some of the conservative concerns were. And I still think some of those are legitimate because it's not always going to be Mike Parson in the governor's office.
Sure.
So at some point, those funds are, you know, could be abused, I guess. I do like the fact that there's a sunset provision. We learned just then, that's breaking news to me, that there's a sunset provision on the fast track. So if after 3 years they realize, the legislature, that it's not working, it's going to have to, a sunset means it's going to have to be renewed. So that spending measure would have to be renewed after 3 years. And if they're not having success with it, and if you can claw back funds, it's obviously there's going to be some administration involved, but what do you think about that? Any thoughts on it?
I thought it sounded good that there were restrictions on it that I didn't know were in place.
As he was talking, I was kind of thinking that you were feeling a little bit better about.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel better about it, and I'm guessing that Senator Onder and Senator Igel and a few of the others who were fighting so hard against it feel better about it. I thought Senator Onder in his defense after giving up summed this up pretty well. He said, we could continue to stand until Friday at 6 p.m. We could continue to stand up till Thanksgiving, but the clock is ticking against us. Do we move forward to protect innocent human life as we pledged to when we ran, or do we oppose some misguided economic policy? So at the end of the day, they decided it was more important. Maybe they got these guarantees about the sunset, and they thought it was more important to go ahead and move forward and try to get the heartbeat bill passed.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, welcome back. Let me get to the phones. Zeke, welcome in. What's on your mind?
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did Fast Track fail in the past?
Well, it didn't come to a vote that I'm aware of. I think that there was a separate bill with Fast Track in it that kind of died, and that's why the governor and his supporters reattached it to this GM bill. Okay. So the answer is yes. So, I don't think it ever got to a vote.
I really honestly think you just sold out a little bit. And the reason I say this is because of this. You and I both know that, you know, the question that you really should have asked him was, why couldn't we just submit a bill with just the GM incentives, and that was it? But no, they had to add slush funds and add all this other stuff. And I think you gave them a pass.
Well, they did, but they did that in the House. I mean, the governor can't force that action. We need to find out who in the House did that in the House committee. It was a House committee that did it.
He could veto the bill.
He could veto the bill. You're absolutely right. No, I don't doubt that, Zeke. That would have been a good question for him. I would agree with that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, six people stood up for 24 hours arguing against it. They couldn't. They had to give up something else. So the governor won this one. It's politics. You can't win them all. As unhappy as I am to have 35 more million taxpayer dollars spent on this, I'm not happy about it. I certainly disagree with you calling me a sellout. I didn't vote on a
thing.
I've been trying to educate people on this for a couple of days now.
This is the whole like eating your own two thing. Like, why do we do this as like a party? Like, stop fighting with each other. Like, let work together on it.
Well, yeah, I would disagree with that. Rossi, I got less than a minute. What's on your mind?
Okay, they asked for money for retraining. Why didn't they get it from the UAW? And why don't they address the health and safety in the workplace? These people are getting injured on the job, and they need to address that. We all go out on disability. The senior citizens get a lot of time in there, and you get injured on the job time after time after time. They send you to medical, they put a Band-Aid on you, and they throw you back on the damn line.
So that's, they certainly could have had, for all I know, maybe there is some private incentive involved in this. I don't know. We're going to talk to Wentzville Mayor Nick Guccione coming up about 8:35. We'll ask his thoughts on what the local incentives are involved in all of this.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.